244. It's our
Mayor,
first
are we going
to
do the consent agenda?
Why don't we go ahead and do that, get that out of the way. Have any items been pulled off the consent agenda, Carla?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Have any items been pulled off of the consent?
Item 250 and 251.
250 and 251, is that correct? Please call the roll on the remainder of the consent agenda.
Ritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The consent agenda is adopted. First time certain item number 244, please.
Accept the annual report for calendar year 2018 of the North and Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy Oversight Committee.
Colleagues, the North-Northeast Housing Strategy Oversight Committee report being presented today is the annual report on the progress of the North-Northeast Housing Strategy. This takes considerable time and effort, so I'd like to thank the entire North-Northeast Oversight Committee and especially the subcommittee members that worked on this report. In 2018, I mentioned that, quite frankly, I was disappointed in the results and progress that we were making in the North-Northeast Housing Strategy. This year, I had the chance to interact personally with the Oversight Committee members, including a quarterly meeting with the committee chair, along with conversations in various spaces with the participants. And I came to appreciate that the expectation to reverse discriminatory policies enacted in the city of Portland over decades won't be fixed in 1 year or 2 years or even in 5 years. We must have a steady and consistent commitment to this effort, and I'm committed to the progress in this plan. Here to present today is Dr. Stephen Holt, who is the chairman of the North-Northeast Housing Strategy Oversight Committee, and Jillian Siraj is also going to present as well, is my understanding. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning, commissioners, and good morning, Mayor. Good to see you. Good to be here. It is our fourth annual report and an opportunity to talk about this daunting task. As you so eloquently identified, that we are addressing decades intentional activity that impacted specifically African Americans and other people of color as it relates to the common right and opportunity of home ownership and or safe dwelling. And so the Oversight Committee is very committed to the work associated with it. It is a significant lift, if not daunting task, and I look forward to sharing what has happened this past year. It's amazing that we started, seems like just days ago, to take this on, and the work that has happened has been slow, arduous at times, sometimes difficult, but absolutely necessary, and look forward to talking about all of that. Our scope, just to highlight a few, well, before I say that, I want to say that I am extremely privileged to work with a very gifted, talented, capable, thoughtful group of people who bring expertise and view and lens from a variety of ways. If you look at the committee members that are identified, these are folks who've been committed to community way beyond just their own personal professional lives, but even in their personal commitments. And I'm grateful for that work, so I wanted to say that. If you look at the scope that we are charged with, it is to advise on, review, program proposals and plan development. It is that we will be informed by any activity going on in the interstate through Portland Housing Bureau, anything that happens around decisions or plans, proposals, that we monitor the implementation of policy and programming and associated outcomes, and that we advise the housing director, the housing commissioner, on progress, issues, and concerns associated with North and Northeast Portland. Now, our hope is that we don't just simply function as a group that points out issues, challenges, and trouble, but that we also offer some strategy and insight and planning to be thoughtful around how to equitably engage the talent and the capacity within the city, offering opportunities not only for people to have housing and ownership or safe rental, but also opportunities to build wealth and capacity and workforce opportunities associated with it. Now, while we're predominantly focused on, and our charge is housing, we know that housing is not exclusive. It involves a variety of other dynamics, and we're concerned about those as well. This report will reflect the accomplishments and some of the challenges of 2018, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we see for 2019. Jillian was going to be kind enough to take us through our accomplishments.
I have the pleasure of telling you what we've been able to accomplish this year, which is quite a bit. Two multifamily rental buildings were opened in the north-northeast area. One is the Beatrice Morrow Kennedy with 80 units and the Charlotte B. Rutherford that has 51 units. The preference policy, which prioritizes folks who were displaced from the north-northeast community, was utilized at three buildings, one that actually opted in to use the policy that was not required to, which is, to me, very exciting. And that was Garlington Plaza, the Charlotte B. Rutherford, and the Beatrice Morrow all are using the preference policy to fill their buildings. We also have down payment assistance forgiveness. So part of the strategy, which I'll go over in a minute, is homeownership. And these homeownership loans came due after 30 years, and council this year approved a forgiveness strategy over time so that at the end of 30 years, when someone's paying off their mortgage, they don't end up with another loan that maybe they thought was a grant. We were also able to increase the boundary for the home retention fund, so funds so that they can be used within the entire urban renewal district. And three projects received additional funding in LIFT funds from Oregon Housing and Community Services, or OHCS, the Bridge Williams Project, Magnolia 2, and Proud Ground, which is a homeownership building, the 5020 condos. So the strategy of the oversight of the – there's four strategies in the URA, and the first strategy that we are tasked with implementing is preventing displacement, and we are accomplishing that through home repair grants and home repair loans. The second strategy is to create new homeowners, and we have two pathways to create new homeowners. One is to build new units, and the other is to provide down payment assistance to purchase existing properties. Our third strategy is to create new rental homes, and the fourth is for land banking. So I'll go over the first, preventing displacement. So the we received updates on the deployment of funds for home ownership grants, and here you can see it, the repair grants and loans broken out by race and by year. These are used in an effort to help people stay in the homes that they already have and prevent further displacement of the most vulnerable populations in North Northeast Portland. The second strategy is creating new homeowners, and I'm happy to inform you that since we produced this report, that another person has been able to close on a home purchase. So there are actually 11 more families that have become homeowners, and there are five that are currently shopping with funds. Not everyone that came through the preference policy process used the funds allocated. So there's seven people have been able to use the down payment assistance from the Housing Authority, three from Prosper, use the housing, down payment assistance from Prosper Portland, two using the construction excise tax, and four were actually able to go through the process of becoming mortgage ready and buy a home without any subsidy. So the next strategy is creating new homeowners through development. And we have two properties currently under development. One is the Habitat for Humanity, the Olin Townhomes, and the PCRI Williams Townhomes. And those units are under construction and hopefully will become available in the first half of this year. The date on here says March 2019, but I would think that they'll probably be filled later in the year. And we are also creating new rental homes. So there are 51 at the, so there are 501 dwellings in the pipeline. There are 146 under construction and 131 new units available to lease now. And of those, 51 units are leased up at the Charlotte B. Rutherford and 81 units at the Beatrice Morrow, and that is currently leasing up. I believe it's about halfway there. The Magnolia 2 is under construction.
Yeah. Can we stop there for a second?
Of course.
Why is it taking so long to lease up the Beatrice Morrow? They have we have a tremendous housing crisis. There's a huge need. We have lots of people looking for affordable housing. It's wonderful that Charlotte Rutherford is completely leased, but Beatrice Morrow has lagged for some time. And what do we know that is explains why we're only at 50%?
Go ahead. No, you go. That's an excellent question. It's been one of the concerns that we've had, one of the questions we've asked, and there has been an uncertainty in response. As much as we know, there was an interruption in leasing for
a period of time. Bishop, yeah. Can we fix the screen? Looks like we don't have anybody on our screen. I don't. We just have a blue, so we're not seeing either the speaker or the PowerPoint.
I'll find out what's wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you. There you go.
There. Look at that. She did it. Excellent.
Sorry. As long as you're speaking, I wanted to make sure people could see you and hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So it's been something that we've been very concerned about to understand. There was an interruption or a pause in the leasing process. And in my conversation with the director of PCRI, that they put the pause on the lease up for a variety of reasons not fully understood yet. And so at this point, my anticipation and expectation is that the Beatrice Morrow will be fully leased, but all of the details, it's a great question. It's a concern of ours, too. So that's all.
Let me ask you this. Let me put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Is the developer committed to the program?
Is the developer committed? I think you would have to talk more specifically with the developer, honestly. My understanding is that there's an agreement to work through the program and to honor the preference policy.
But let's be clear. I mean, this is not discretionary. We gave money. We have a preference program. We have goals in terms of leasing up.
Yeah.
Are you encountering resistance to the idea of implementing the preference policy to these units?
I don't think we are now. And I'm not sure what the issues were. And if I did know, I would certainly tell you. I have no reason not to. I don't think we are now. I think there were times of uncertainty and clarity. I think we've been able to resolve that. At least that's my hope. And my emphasis has been, even as you articulated, is that this isn't discretionary or optional, that all of the dollars that have been associated with interstate funding are to go through the preference policy process.
Okay, so, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
If I might, Mayor.
Yes, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish, one of the things that I know about this project is that there was a difference of agreement between the developer and the project managers about how to use the preference policy in a way that ensured that people who were living in Inner Northeast who really were displaced were the first ones to have access to this housing. I also don't know if those issues have been resolved, but I think it was a very fair question for the developer to raise based on the preference policy of the city has nothing to do with race. And we know most of the people displaced from Inner Northeast were African American people. So I applaud the developer taking a pause to make sure that we were not exacerbating the fact that African Americans have been pushed out of Inner Northeast Portland.
Okay. All right. I'll let you continue. Any other question about that at this moment? No. Thank you.
Where was I? Magnolia 2 is under construction and will be completed in, scheduled to be completed in January of 2020. PCRI, the King Parks, to be named something else site, broke ground last month. The Bridge Williams site will be breaking ground this month, I think
tomorrow.
I believe the construction loan closes today. And the Reach Argyle site construction has begun and should be completed in 2020, and there is a community event planned in June 2019 at that location. So, the fourth strategy is land banking. As I'm sure everyone in this room is aware, land prices are not going down, and they haven't in a long time. And one of the best strategies that we can employ is to buy land and hold on to it for development, even if we don't have a project ready to go, because that land is not going to get less expensive. And PHB, Portland Housing Bureau, is currently in negotiations with a property owner to acquire a parcel within the district, and was also able to purchase a property on Cary Boulevard from the Water Bureau for future homeownership development. And this is Oversight Committee approved and is going to Prosper Portland to be included in the URA on the 10th, yes. April 10th.
Well, excellent. So let's talk about some of the, or how the work is happening. And I mentioned in my opening statement that our concern is not merely people getting in units. It's also capacity building and workforce development and supporting minority women, emerging small businesses, being contracted and participating in the process. So under rental development, here you have information with how dollars were disseminated and the opportunities afforded. You can see the breakout in percentages. Our concern continues to be that specifically African-American companies, companies of color, continue to gain access, opportunity to these possibilities, and are those who are employed doing this work. And then with home retention, part of that strategy being to help people not be displaced, we want to make sure the same thing is happening. Minority women, emerging small businesses are getting opportunity to participate in this process. And so specifically in 2018, you notice that the numbers drop considerably. And we're not sure as to why those numbers are so impacted. We are concerned that there be adequate advertising, adequate communication, adequate engagement and opportunity be afforded, and not so sure if with the boom that's going on in the economy, reflective of the number of minority or specifically African-American companies in the city, if they're just busy with other projects that are generating more revenue. That's something worth understanding and being clear about. But we certainly would like to see those numbers increase.
Commissioner
Yes,
Hardesty.
Commissioner.
Dr. Holt, if you'll go back one slide, please.
Yep.
So I'm concerned that it didn't just drop. It disappeared for African Americans. The slide's not up, but...
I went back to it. I'm not sure what...
From 41% of contractors for home repairs to a negligible amount... So to just say we don't know, what's being done to find out why that happened?
We're asking the questions.
Who are you asking?
We've asked Portland Housing Bureau to help us understand why that number is reflective of what it is, yes.
And do you know if there's anything that's changed between 2017 and 2018 that would account for that extreme drop?
I do not have any specific information at this point, no.
So I'm disappointed in not knowing that, because I think the report would have been more robust had we understood what the ebbs and flows are. So I just want to put that on the record. I'm not holding you personally responsible for it, Dr. Holt.
Yeah.
But as the chair of the committee, I just think it's an important message to send back that we're just not going to accept numbers that don't make sense without some data behind it.
And, Commissioner, I support that. And you need to know that that's exactly the conversation we're having. So we need to understand that. Yep. And as much as possible, see the strategy for improvement.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so once you get the answer to that, if you could let the council know, because I think we're all curious.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It would be our delight.
An email would be fine. Thank you.
Absolutely. It would be our delight. So here are the opportunities then. Here are the things, and you highlighted one of them. Improvement, advertising, marketing efforts to increase awareness of participation of communities of color, especially African Americans, within the home repair and home grant program. To reestablish a quarterly newsletter that keeps people informed of the work that the partners and the Housing Bureau is doing. To decrease barriers and increase opportunities for the MWESB participation, minority women, emerging small business participation at all levels of construction and development, from multifamily rentals, single-family home repairs, increase initiatives for economic development via the Prosper Portland and the Northeast Community Development Initiatives work. There's a gap for community development services and programs that cannot be funded through tax increment financing dollars. We need to figure out how we address those things. We are suggesting a maximization of the indebtedness of the URA for the purpose of expanding the reach, for the purpose of creating greater opportunities to communities that have been impacted. Then reducing communication barriers with community partners. That continues to be challenging at times, and figuring out how can we get past the things that are not relevant, pertinent, and or necessary so that we can do what is most impactful and beneficial. We're pressing all partners to present their work, learning about serving families who are experiencing the root shock of displacement, and to be specific in how they are serving and willing or being willing to serve the African-American families as they report out to the committees. I will read this, and then I'll make a few comments about it. We have an incredible opportunity to do generational good. It is incumbent upon all of us, City of Portland, PHB, partners, and Oversight Committee, to recognize and understand that this work is not about any one of us. This is about and for the community of people who have been negatively impacted by intentional acts of displacement and gentrification. And I will say more specifically, it's about the African-American people who live in the City of Portland who have consistently been impacted by these acts. This work is about offering hope to some of the many who want to take advantage of these possibilities and return to their historic roots. The community deserves the best efforts of all participants to achieve our goals. Preference policy continues to be the best tool for ensuring this aim. It is imperative that we function with emotional intelligence and clear vision. Our time is limited. This moment won't last forever. We implore each of you to give your best effort so that the promises made will be promises kept. I sat here years ago, and I began with the statement that the promises made must be promises kept. And for the last 5 years, four specifically in this seat, giving time and energy to address the various issues and bringing us back to the core and bringing us back to the center. I would say that with the help of each of you as influencers, doing what you can to leverage your voice, your authority, and your understanding about this moment, we can do something amazing that will impact generations. This is a lift. It is difficult work. It is necessary work. It's our work. So let's do it.
All said. Colleagues, any further questions? Commissioner Hardesty, then Commissioner Fish.
So I'd like to go back to the 11 homes that have closed that you referenced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in learning what has been our most effective tool in helping people close the gap and achieve the dream of home ownership. So I think, you know, first of all, I would be interested in knowing, of those 11 homes where we now have new homeowners in the district, what was the average subsidy that we invested and so that we can understand what the public return was. What's been the average subsidy of those 11 homes?
That's an excellent question. Do you know that offhand? I will say this. If you recall, we adjusted the subsidy because of the challenges. We had I think, three challenges related to getting people into home ownership that we didn't know as an oversight committee when we stepped into it. One was the rapid rate of increase of home pricing. And so we adjusted subsidy from $65,000 to $80,000, then to $100,000. And you recall that process. Secondly, the other challenge was just the amount of time to help families get through cleaning credit, raising their credit score, reducing debt, and so forth. And so that was a challenge. And then the third one was just all of the, and from my perspective, the third one was all of the issues associated with the training, the educating, and the getting people through the elements and aspects around the preference policy. And so all of those things took time to get us to this moment, the average subsidy.
Currently, the subsidy is $100,000 within the URA to provide opportunity based on home pricing. And so that's what it was increased to earlier last year. So it's $100,000.
And so, Leslie, does the $100,000, I just don't remember from past briefings, can that be used as in part as the down payment?
So currently, with TIF dollars, 80% is down payment and 20% is for home improvements. We're going to be coming back to council in a few weeks about potentially changing that percentage. But yes, 80% of that 100, so 80,000, 77,000 actually, because 3,000 of it is a fee, would go as a down payment.
All right. So someone who is looking at a $300,000 or $400,000 house within the district can use that money towards the 20% down payment, which is often one of the biggest barriers that people have.
Correct.
Simultaneously, we're helping people improve their credit scores and their balance sheets. And then third, we're also working to make sure people understand how the preference works and how to access these benefits. That summarizes, I think.
And the dealing with the credit, that's the work of the partners. Work people through or help them work through the process of credit scores, debt reduction, et cetera.
So one piece that changed last year was that we hired Portland Housing Center to do a single list management for people coming through the preference policy to purchase homes. And so they are managing all of the folks that are interested and have had significant success in a short period of time to getting people ready. As we said, we've had several people purchase since the last report, and we have five people shopping. One person closed last week. We have another person closing in approximately 2 weeks. So we've tripled the number of people that have purchased since the last report.
And my second and final question has to do with home repairs. In the slide that we saw earlier, it seemed that with African-American homeowners, the program seemed to be focused and having some success. The numbers for Hispanic, Asian, Native American were very low, almost negligible as you went down the line. To what do you attribute that?
Well, I think part of it is because this program is located in interstate. And the numbers of those families living in that area that own homes is probably smaller than other populations. I think that that's the greatest impact on those numbers.
And I think, Commissioner, it goes back to kind of my comment at the end where we're talking about improving the advertising and the marketing, that there is a need to make sure that as many people possibly know about the programs that exist. And so how we do the marketing, how we do the advertising, that's a concern that we carry and how that happens so that we increase the numbers of people who can take advantage of the programs that exist.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much, panel. I appreciate the information. And please know my questions are more related to whether or not we're headed down the same path. Because this program started in 2015. And so what I'm to understand is that we have less than 200 homeowners who have had their homes repaired. We have about 11 people who are now homeowners. How many African Americans are part of that 11 group?
All of the homeowners are African American.
So 11 and 5 years are moving into home ownership opportunities. And it feels like we haven't moved the ball enough yet, right? I mean, we say this vision was a lofty vision when it was passed by the city council. But do we have the right people working on the right part of the problem at the right time? Because if we do it at this rate, we'll all be 1,500 years old by the time African Americans have the opportunity to have homes in inner Northeast Portland.
So, Commissioner Hardesty, let me respond. I smile and I chuckle a little bit, not by any means to be dismissive. It's because I agree with you 100%. And so much of the angst and your presentation doesn't, I think, equate to the energy by which I address this issue. Those who were at the meeting know there was significant intensity around that. Since that time, having the opportunity to talk more in depth and understand the impact of the barriers associated with the people we're trying to help, it's going to just take time. You know, like I do, it takes time to clean credit. It takes time to reduce debt. It takes time around this process. By bringing in the Portland Housing Center, we were able to kind of expedite some of that process. But we're talking about people who've had barriers significant for years. And while this opportunity exists, it's one of the things we need to think about is extending the timeline only because of what it takes to help people work through what they need to work through. I didn't understand that, and so I was extremely frustrated. Are you kidding me? Four people after, you know, 4 years at this. But to be able to triple that at this point is extremely encouraging. I believe we're going to be able to do that again. Again, part of it just because of the time it's taken to get people to this point, to clean their credit, to reduce their debt, and then to help shift a mindset and empower people to think toward home ownership with a strategy and a path has also been part of this work. So,
I would just add that the policy intentionally is as inclusive as it can be. There were no barriers. There was no income requirements, credit requirements in order to get on the list to be part of this program. And so a lot of the people on the that are working towards home ownership are some of the people that have been the most vulnerable, the most displaced folks in our city. And like Dr. Holt said, it takes time to get from point A to point B. And I think that we are now seeing the results of several years of work at that.
And are we identifying homeowners who are close to being priced out of their homes, who still live in inner Northeast, and does this fund help them be able to stay in their home?
I think part of the mitigation strategy, a simple answer is yes, but there are nuances associated with that. And I think we're going to have to re-examine how we address those very issues beyond just home repairs and beyond, I'll say this, part of the conversation that was happening was a strategy for wealth creation and or assistance for sustainability to be able to maintain your housing. That was the ADU concept. For some homeowners, can they bring in an accessory dwelling unit? But then that has its own challenges associated with it also, because now you're making landlords, now you're making business owners, now you're making... So all of the strategies, or each of the strategies, require their own level of intentionality, thoughtfulness, and planning. And so what's unfortunate is that there's no panacea. There's no simple way to address this multifaceted and nuanced issue. And so thoughtfulness and our collective intelligence to address that, I think, is extremely important.
Mayor, this is my last question. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the patience of my colleagues and others. This is probably one of the most frustrating policy proposals that I have observed over the last 4 or 5 years, because again, as I said, the goal is lofty. However, when it's not working, we don't have a strategy about changing course to figure out what would be a better approach, right? We just keep going down the same path and say, well, in a couple of years, rather than 11, maybe we'll have 15, and, you know, maybe in a couple of more years, rather than 15, we'll have 20. That is not sufficient. I know that African-American elders are being fleeced of their property in inner northeast Portland now. Speculators are coming in and buying it up dirt cheap and then either revising it or tearing it down and building whatever. I would think, and I'm not a housing expert, so this is just my own humble opinion, but I would think that we would be connecting with elder empty nest homeowners and saying, what's your plans for the future, right? And how do we make sure we keep low-income housing actually low-income, right? Because what we're still doing is subsidizing developers. And to me, it's like we can never subsidize developers enough to actually increase the housing stock as we need to. So I guess that's my soapbox, and thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So if I could say two things in regard to that. One is, and I agree that this is an arduous process. The preference policy being associated with geography instead of ethnicity was to secure the best opportunity possible for it not to be reversed, so we could reach as many people as possible. I personally would love it to be directed at those who've been most impacted. I'd love to be able to say that this is for black people. These are the blacks who've been hurt, and here are the ways we're going to help them. To have a policy that would say that or would identify that would put us in a position like New York or San Francisco that had their policies overturned. And so to associate it with geography gave the opportunity for the broadest reach, knowing that the people who lived in that area were most impacted. I'm absolutely in support of the heartbeat of which you express and communicate. The frustration, I can only, at this moment, trying to maintain my appropriate expression. The frustration about the pace has been palpable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we want to see as many people benefited as possible, as well as those who presently own homes. And a strategy to engage the elderly homeowner and help them think about estate planning and long-term planning and how do we pass this on to families. That's been part of the discussion of the Oversight Committee, and would welcome your participation in some more of that in terms of how we can make this reality. Mm-hmm. So you were going to answer something.
I was just going to add, I'm sorry, we do have a pilot project that will be starting in a few weeks. We're doing an RFP for exactly what you're talking about, to hire an organization to provide case management particularly to seniors, about predatory lending, about estate planning, how to pass their homes on, about reverse mortgages, all of those things that we know seniors get sucked into. I live in the district, and I get probably 3 or 4 letters a week saying, I'll buy your house for cash. I just tell them, you know, $1.5 million, you can come and get it. But, you know, and they're like, well, that's outrageous. Well, my house is not for sale. So so that's exactly what we're going to be working on.
Thanks, Leslie. Commissioner Fritz.
Dr. Hall, thank you for all of your work and for the community members, esteemed community members who form this committee. I mean, it's really difficult work, and it's heartfelt work, and I appreciate it. You just mentioned accessory dwelling units. When you gave us the report last year, you said that the committee recommended putting that concept on the back burner. Is it permanently on the back burner? Is there an update?
When we put it on the back burner, it's because it needed some more cooking. From our perspective, it needed to be thought through. The a presentation around how it would be implemented at the time just didn't benefit enough people. It was extremely narrow. And then some of the things I just mentioned in terms of how are we going to address educating people who are, most of them, elderly in becoming homeowners, in becoming business owners, in becoming landlords. It just brought some elements that needed to be thought through. So we didn't want to dismiss it. It was never saying that, hey, this is not something to do, but it was something we needed to think about more thoroughly and be very strategic with how it happens. The goal is to create, to not only help people stay in their homes, but then it would be great to create a way to increase some revenue to support that, especially as prices go up.
So has any more work been done on it in the past year, or is it still just kind
not specifically to our just committee?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very pleased to hear about the work to reduce barriers to participation. I think a lot of work went into developing that preference equation, and like you said, it, we had to be very, very careful so we didn't run afoul of the Fair Housing Act, which is why it can't be based on race. But there wasn't enough acknowledgement given to the fact that the very people we were trying to reach and engage were not going to be credit ready, that were, you know, beginning from a more economically disadvantaged point. And I remember a lot of friends of mine or people I just know through housing justice work being very excited initially and then feeling very discouraged by what they learned when they participated in those first rounds of community conversations. So it absolutely... agree. We need a new marketing campaign. We need to reintroduce this project to the public, and perhaps you know, one side should be the home ownership opportunities, and another angle should be to seniors and to not sell, and to help them with maintenance, help them with energy efficiency, and I'm particularly interested in succession of ownership within families, because we know that's when that asset is really can at a big risk of being lost. As far as the ADU conversation goes, I'm very interested in that. I can connect you with a host of people who are working on a variety of issues around ADUs. One is that there's currently no financing product. And unless you have access to $150,000, $200,000 in capital, you cannot develop an ADU, or unless you can build it yourself, I guess. And so we are working on filling that gap with a product that would allow, I guess, applicants to take rental income into account. So it's not going to deliver to everybody that's in this program, but average Portlanders should be able to develop an ADU and increase value in their homes and generate income. But there's also the challenge of turning homeowners into business owners and landlords, and there's another group of people working on that. So it's a complicated but really promising opportunity, and I'd love to
please
help.
We welcome the conversation. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. I'll entertain
Mayor,
a motion.
I move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
Well, thank you all for your presentation. Certainly some achievements to celebrate, and I appreciate getting that update, and also that you called out areas where there's room for improvement and communication and the other places that you highlighted for us. And it's kind of unusual to have a presentation where the flaws are highlighted as well as the things to celebrate. So I appreciate you calling them out and giving us the explanations that you have and that you'll follow up with us afterwards for the ones that are still to come. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Dr. Holt, I'm not sure when you find time for sleeping, because in addition to doing this work, you're also engaged in a community visioning plan for the IFCC, among other things, and we look forward at some point to your report on that and how we might take that treasure and honor the legacy of Charles Jordan and the investment that we've made and turn it into something even better.
Yeah.
I want to thank all the members of the Oversight Committee who are listed in your report for their service. Clearly, there is frustration with the pace, but time will tell whether this is a successful strategy. I am pleased that you've got two home ownership projects in the pipeline, one with Habitat and one with PCRI. I think that's very important. That's going to help us significantly expand the number of homeowners in the district. And please, in between your next presentation, if there are tools that you need or changes that the council needs to consider to advance your work, we need to hear from you. It's great to have these annual reports, but you're gonna encounter barriers that need our attention sooner. So I hope you're not shy about letting us know what kinds of things we can consider to help make your work smoother and your outcomes more effective.
Thank you very much. You will hear from me frequently.
So I appreciate the report. Aye.
Hardesty?
I also appreciate the dedication of the community volunteers who are spending a lot of time trying to figure this out. But again, for me, I guess I'm most frustrated with just the glacier pace that we're moving and the lack of analysis about what it will take to get us to what we say the goal is. And so it is my hope, as Commissioner Fish said, that we don't wait a year to hear from you again, that you come as soon as you have some requests from us about what changes you need and the policy or the direction that you're headed, because I really don't want to sit here for another year and hear that we put five more people into a home and we're doing all these great pilots, but at the end of the day, we still have people suffering on our street. It's about relieving the suffering. I vote aye.
Well, thank you to members of the Oversight Committee, Dr. Holt, Portland's city staff. Slightly more hopeful report than last year. And like I said, please reach out on the ADU issue and the Don't Sell marketing campaign. I would really love to help. Aye.
Again, I want to thank the entire Oversight Committee and especially Dr. Holt. I cannot stress enough how important your leadership has been to this, and I really just at every opportunity, I want to take the opportunity to thank you for the great work that you're doing in the community. And Dr. Karen Edward, Felicia Tripp, and Tristan Dallas, who were all the subcommittee members who are very, very instrumental in making sure that this report came to the City Council today. I want to thank Cupid Alexander on my team, who has worked tirelessly on this as well. We obviously today focused on the many challenges. That's what we spent last year doing as well when you came before the City Council. But I also want to just acknowledge that today's report highlighted many significant outcomes in 2018. There were two buildings opened in 2018, providing 132 more units of affordable housing within the interstate corridor. New approaches were implemented based on some of the conversations that we had last year. For example, the down payment assistance loan forgiveness was instituted, which gave participants the opportunity to have their total loan forgiven within a 30-year period. And as Dr. Holt said, I think very eloquently, there are many barriers that have to be overcome with the population that we're working on, cleaning up credit, decreasing debt, and working with our colleagues at the Portland Housing Center to make sure that people are ready to be successful in those homeownership opportunities that they're provided. So in total now, 15 families have become homeowners. That's up from the reported four at this time last year. And as Dr. Holt mentioned, seven families are actively looking at this time. This is measured progress. And I also want to acknowledge the work of the Housing Bureau and the community on coming together to further improve upon this. As has been acknowledged, we have much further to go. Our city is seeing a massive investment in affordable housing construction, and we must improve the ways in which these opportunities are shared for all people in our community, making sure that we're hiring minority contractors and creating a broad array of economic and housing opportunities. As has been noted in the report, there are still critical gaps that exist. For example, the question remaining about the contractors participating in home retention. I think that's important data. We should work together to better shine a light on what's going on there. And finally, I just want to say this. This is really about trust. We have to continue to recognize and acknowledge the past and move forward in an intentional community-centered way. That is one of the reasons that this committee was put into place in the first place. We've made some adjustments, and I'm sure we will continue to make adjustments as this process unfolds. I continue to be highly committed to the outcomes, and I'll work with all of you on the Oversight Committee, and I'll work with the Portland Housing Bureau on how best to achieve our collective goals. So thank you again for coming in. Thank you for your leadership and commitment. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you.
Thank you.